WGNSTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hello again, everybody. This is Dome and Domer. I'm Mike Sullivan along with Ed Sullivan. We're going to talk a little bit about the Notre Dame-Syracuse game. We'll talk about the Maui Classic and some other issues surrounding the Notre Dame football program. If you have any questions or comments, send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com, or post it on the website, domeanddomer.com. Okay, Ed, Syracuse, we had a very passionate argument a few days ago about whether or not Syracuse had any shot whatsoever of taking down the Irish this week. I said no. Upon further review, maybe there's a little bit of, you know, honestly, this is a game where we need to take care of business. No drama, no last minute sweating it out like we did against Navy. Syracuse is a bad football team, but you throw the intangible in there. Their coach Greg Robinson recently fired. You know, maybe that has some impact on the game. But aside from Adrian Dantley's son playing quarterback for Syracuse, right?
Interesting story. Yeah.
Really, this should be a decisive Notre Dame win.
Yeah, it should be. There's, you know, the shoulds in life. God, if I had a nickel for every time something didn't happen that should have happened, then I wouldn't be doing this lousy show. I'd be doing something more fun. No, honestly, you know, it's funny, this whole coach thing. We've seen this in other situations where you would expect a team to fall apart because of that, and suddenly they pull a rabbit out of their hat.
Well, the most recent example, I think, with North Carolina game a couple years ago, North Carolina came in, a really bad football team. Their coach had already, you know, been terminated, of course, making room for Butch Davis the next year. But North Carolina came in and was pesky. I mean, I think we ended up beating them roughly 42-28, something like that. But, you know, they had returned a kickoff against us. They had about an 80-yard touchdown. It was one of those games where you just never felt quite satisfied, like we put them away, but, you know, even though we scored 40.
Well, a more prominent example, not at the same end of college, but West Virginia in the bowl game, right? Didn't they, after Rodriguez left?
Yeah, but that was a BCS.
It was a good team. I mean, you know, West Virginia was a good team, but still people didn't, I don't think people expected them to win that game, and they played a lot better than people thought. The point,
yeah, I don't
being,
know that that's a valid comparison.
Sometimes you look back on things and the expectation, you look back and say, oh, holy cow, how did that happen? Well, they had nothing to lose. They put everything out there. They, you know, things like that. I think that's a legitimate concern here.
Yeah, Weiss had mentioned that. I mean, you know, when you're playing loose, I think the example he gave is maybe you call three reverses in a row. You onside kick it every, wait a minute, that could be a problem.
Yeah, right. No, I'm really worried.
Right. But no, the reality is, this is, I think, a game more about us than them. We have to eliminate the stupid mistakes that have been plaguing us. Well, turnovers at home haven't been as bad as they've been on the road, but this is a team that has struggled, I'm talking about Notre Dame, struggled in the red zone, and one of the reasons is because, you know, the quarterback's turning the ball over a lot.
Yeah. Really, all our losses, I don't care whether they're home or away, when you look at the question of turnovers, they're number one on the list. Why do we turn the ball over more on the road than home? I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, maybe there's not a real factor there. But the point is,
I think part of it is we've played better teams on the road than we have at home.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. Look at what Syracuse has been pesky for a few folks this year. Not a lot, but a few of them. I think they were a little pesky against Pitt. They were pesky against West Virginia. They played without White, and that game was way closer than I think anybody thought it would be. I think you're right. It's more about us than them, and that worries me a little because the us part of the equation, we have not been efficient offensively. We haven't finished drives. We have made mistakes and turned the ball over. We haven't shown the – this goes back perhaps to the coaching staff. I think as part of the Weiss era, we haven't shown a real ability to step on someone's throat, to end a game decisively.
I agree. That's a bit of a problem. We've seen it this year a number of times. Golden Tate's made some comments about it. It's troubling. You know, he's made some comments about, well, I think we backed off a little bit. And, Washington, you know, those things are troubling. You know, we kind of let Stanford off the mat a little bit. We didn't finish the game out against Washington consistently, you know, play consistently well throughout the game.
Well, lead against North Carolina.
And Navy,
right? Lead against Pitt, okay?
And, you know, nearly blow it against Navy. So that is becoming a pattern with this team. And I think some of that, knowing how to do that, is a function of maturity, leadership, et cetera. Now, Does that maturity and leadership come just from the seniors and 50-year seniors? Well, you know, it also comes from the coaching staff. And let's be honest, this is an on-the-job training kind of situation for Charlie Weiss, only in his fourth year as a head coach. That's a factor.
Yeah, and you got to acknowledge that the factor of mixing in the extreme youth of the team, the fact that the cupboard got bare very quickly for him at the same time that he's trying to sort of learn how to be a head coach in college, that's not a great mix. But, you know, the years are mounting for him now, and the experiences are mounting. The talent level is rising. You would expect us to turn the corner on this issue. I thought there was some bad judgment at Navy. I don't want to resurrect the Navy thing, but we had an opportunity to step on their throat to decisively end the game, and we didn't. And some of that were the choices made. So that concerned me.
Well, yeah, I don't know that I want to get into all that. You should have been at the show earlier in the week, but you chose to not be a part of that. You could have talked about those things. But no, I mean, the question that I think you're bringing up is to punt or to go for it on 4th and 4 from their 42 late in the game. And if you're talking about stepping on their throat, maybe that's why you go for it. And punting is the more passive play. You could look at that both ways. Other people criticized playing the reserves too early in the game. I didn't necessarily have a problem with that. There's a lot of people that have criticized him for not getting people in the game in 06, setting the table for the disaster of 07 when he could have played subs in 06. But, excuse me, the bottom line is I think you're right. Broader issues for the program are learning how to put people away, execute and play inspired football for 4 quarters regardless of the opponent. And that's what I want to see out of this game. Syracuse is not as talented as Notre Dame. We should beat them decisively. And if we have this team tracking in the right ways emotionally, psychologically, then we should do that.
That should happen.
And
no,
if
I think that's
well put. Right, because you're looking, you know, don't get caught in one of those trap games when you're looking ahead to SC. This team can't afford to look past anybody.
Well, here's part of the issue that I feel like in the last, you know, year, certainly, and even last year a little bit, but how do you look past anybody? Given what happened last year and what's happened this year, how do you look past anybody? How do you take anything for granted?
Exactly.
That's a problem if we've got guys who are thinking, this one's won or this is not that
big
a game.
Well, we don't know if we do. This is a game that is
that could reveal that.
Right, exactly.
To the degree that there's a question in our mind, they haven't proven that question is not on the table by virtue of the earlier experiences this year.
Well, if the San Diego State game makes you wonder
San Diego
about
State
that.
Is Exhibit A. I think Pitt not being able to finish out Pitt.
That's
not
an
able
example.
To finish out.
Well, hang on a minute. We're talking about looking past people, not finishing out people. That's the debate we're having right now. And you can't argue that we were looking past Pitt to Navy. I mean, I don't think that's relevant in the Pitt game. Two separate issues. Are we able to finish people off because of, you know, the leadership,
I'm talking about
intensity, et cetera.
Psychological issues with a team that might be expecting themselves to be better than they really are, okay? I'm talking about when you go back and look at the way we played in the third quarter against Pitt, it looked to me like they kind of relaxed, and they did not have the same kind of intensity.
Right.
Why is that? Hey, we're 2 touchdowns up, and, you know, Pitt's not really that good. Or something. Like, what's going on in their heads? That's the problem. That question is left on the table.
Okay.
Now, on a positive note, I want to admit, because I'm certainly negative sometimes, but I think defensively, I'm really impressed with the way we've played defensively in the last few games.
Over the last 4 games, the stretch of defense has been statistically the best since 1996. Some of that's the opponent. Washington certainly helps pad your stats. But no, the defense has played really well. We know the limitations that the defense has, but they've managed to, you know, overcome some of those, hide some of those things. And not to look ahead, but the real test will be Southern Cal. Yeah, but the defense has played really well. You worry a little bit personnel-wise. We're banged up heading into this game. Brian Smith is out for the SC game and for this week, as is Michael Floyd, the fabulous freshman.
That's just huge.
Wide receiver. So those things, you know, are some of the storylines around this week as well. But Mike Haywood, you know, reportedly interviewing for the Washington job, and Charlie Weiss is going to call the plays again this week, and I would assume the rest of the season. I've said it before, I don't know that the play calling is all that decisive compared to the other factors that affect performance, like the week you had and the overall psychological state of the team and the fundamentals that have been taught or not taught, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not reading too much into Weiss calling the plays.
Yeah, actually, when I heard that Haywood was interviewing or talking to the Washington people, to me, that I thought that made even a little more sense why Weiss took the play calling back. If there was some sense of distraction there for Haywood, and he just wanted to say, hey, you know, if you need to concentrate on that, that's fine. I'll be more in charge of the game plan. I don't know. I've never really been happy with the way Weiss approaches the media and what he says and doesn't say, and how public he was about, oh, I'm giving up the play calling. Oh, I'm now taking back the play calling. I don't really like the way he identifies some of those issues in the media. And I didn't like this one, but, you know, it is what it is.
Other storylines, at 6-4 right now, we're bowl eligible, and all indications are that with 7 wins, the Gator Bowl is not going to pass on Notre Dame. The Gator Bowl will make an offer to a 7-win Notre Dame team. On the one hand, you know, that's good for the program, New Year's Day Bowl.
Of course it is.
You know, that there's, on the other hand, the potential PR disaster. Here's what worries me. If somehow Pitt finishes as runner-up in the Big East, second or third place even in the Big East. In other words, Pitt is out of the BCS.
Right.
And the Gator Bowl chooses Notre Dame over Pittsburgh.
Oh, God.
Right. That I'm just already anticipating the media onslaught about. And, of course, every bowl game but one is about TV ratings and ticket sales. And every bowl game makes their matchup based on those things and takes those things into consideration.
Yeah.
But when Notre Dame is involved in the mix, then the outrage is just ridiculous.
And it just is, again, it calls into question our bowl history of recent, middle, and long past. Now, it's been a long time, and that's what people are going to say over and over again. They're just going to hammer on that.
Sure. But, you know, I like a potential Gator Bowl matchup against a ACC also-ran. I think it could be a potential game against the Florida State and Miami. Maybe it's Maryland. I mean, a lot of football has to be played to determine who that Gator Bowl pick would be. But I wouldn't mind seeing a Notre Dame-Miami matchup in the Gator Bowl. I think that that's a winnable game. That's a winnable game.
I'm not sure there's that many ACC opponents that aren't winnable. I mean, who's vying for the top of the ACC
I'd
right
say
now?
Boston College.
Okay.
Boston College, North Carolina, obviously, are among
two
the
teams
top teams
that
in the ACC.
We were able to face off with. When you look at that Boston College game, our offense was so bad, inefficient. The turnovers we had that were red zone turnovers, the defense that held when we made ugly turnovers, okay? Yeah, they shut us out, beat us decisively, no question about it. But you know this as a coach. You go back and look at games, you know, you lose 17-0. You go back and look at that game and say, this is baloney. We should have been in the game with these people.
Oh, I agree with
and
you.
And that's the top of the ACC.
Exactly.
North Carolina. That was our game.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's why I'm a Gator Bowl bid against the ACC also-ran. I think it's a good matchup.
And we're completely capable of losing to the bottom of the ACC as well.
The Sun Bowl bid is another potential that's out there. And I think that would put us against the Pac-10 also-ran. But that could be let's see, Oregon State figures to win the Pac-10, and USC would probably be in the BCS. So, you know, somebody besides USC or Oregon State, I think, is a good matchup coming out of the Pac-10. So, bottom line is, at this point in the season, from where we're assuming we beat Syracuse, and there's no drama, you know, if you go out and compete for 4 quarters against Southern Cal and are in the game, see what happens, and win a bowl game, that's a successful season in my book. Sitting here now at this point, even though I was...
You're putting that point to me.
No, I'm just saying, even if that means a 5-loss season, if you lose to Southern Cal, basically, if you lose to, if you finish 8-5 and you lose to Southern Cal and win a bowl game, or the other way around, you beat Southern Cal but lose a bowl game and finish 8-5, I could live with either of those two things.
Yeah,
I know you could. I'm talking to the more of the right-thinking Americans that are out there. The real
August,
the pro-America Americans.
You think there should be maybe an investigation of my anti-America views?
Yeah. Okay, let's flip over to basketball real quick.
Okay.
Maui Classic coming up. Mike Bray's team wins the opener, and in decisive fashion against South Carolina Upstate. Not an opponent you hear about every day.
No.
But coming up into the weekend, Loyola Marymount out in Los Angeles, and then IU early next week in the Maui Classic.
I tell you what, I was talking to some other Notre Dame folks this week, and some of us just kind of feel like we want to bury a ghost of, you know, some IU teams that have just hammered us way back when. IU is picked to be at the bottom of the Big Ten. I wonder about that. I think Crean's a good coach, but I would love to see us just get all over them and just have a decisive victory against IU. That would feel pretty good.
Yeah, potential opponents, you know, in Hawaii, you know, things play out the way we want them to. Games against Texas, games against North Carolina. But the schedule is very, obviously very ambitious. And, yeah, I don't know that we necessarily have to win at Maui. I think you need two wins out there, though, to feel good about the team's performance early in the year.
I think you need to beat
year.
IU.
Yeah, IU's for sure.
Yeah, and if we're facing some of those people, North Carolina, Texas, whatever, I like facing them early at a Maui thing where it's kind of a throwaway, you know. And you, early in the season, you could see to your guys, how are we matching up against some of the elites? I think that's real good for us. Then we come back and we have, like, this cake part of our schedule. But we had that really tough test early. I think that could be really good for us. I'm very concerned about our schedule and how good the Big East is this year. And now the expectations. This is a program that hasn't had to play from the point of expectations for a couple of years. We have come on and snuck up on people. People have discounted us. We've gone and been able to play as a team in ways that surprised people. Then we get to the dance and there's some expectations and suddenly we lay an egg. So that's an issue that I wonder about. How are we going to deal with a season-long expectation in that sense?
Yeah, I think that's one of the key storylines this year is playing with a target on our back. Currently ranked 8th in the Associated Press and first top 10 preseason appearance for Notre Dame since around the early 80s, you know, in the Digger Phelps era. So. Okay, lots of good things going on, and we'll be back early next week to review the Syracuse game and talk about the upcoming game against Southern Cal. If you have any comments, send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com. For Ed Sullivan, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time.